ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from Cadillac Bar in the Heights as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brano.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Brano. Ryan behind the glass. Brian on site. Engineering. That's going to be tough to say all day. Ryan and Brian. But the Killer Bees live from Cadillac Bar in the Heights. Help you go out, see the boys. Set the scene for us, Blankers. How's it look out there?
It looks great. They had a happy hour starts at like 11 a.m. here. It's absolutely fantastic. Sunny day. So fantastic environment. The lunch crowd has been filtering in and out. But right here off of Shepherd and I-10, convenient. And the food is just outstanding. It's out of this world. So a great environment. We're going to be here till 6, so they'll have the happy hour going on. You need to stop on by.
Cadillac Bar, get on out there, right there on Shepherd. Yeah, the happy hour caught my eye. I was just looking at some of the notes here, a little inside baseball. It's an eight-hour happy hour.
Yeah.
Like that's like Branham math there. You get 8 hours in 1 hour, but that sounds like my kind of party. Best fajitas in the Houston area, too. I can hear it bleeding through your microphone. But that's my kind of music, too.
Yeah, they got your jams playing.
Oh,
Daddy just was rifling through the speakers, and I immediately thought this was something that you'd really like.
Yeah, man. That music, it puts me in my happy place. There's very few things I like in life more than that type of music and margaritas and some tacos if I'm hungry. Tequila and fajitas Friday, too. So if you can't make it out today, you should, but if you can't, make sure you get out there tomorrow, a margarita pitcher and a half pound of chicken or chicken and beef fajitas for $39.99. Great value for a little tequila. Great value for some fajitas, too, which we all know the price of meat. It's becoming more and more expensive, but not at Cadillac Bar right there on Shepherd. We got a lot to get to today. Texans, day two of Texans training camp. What has piqued your interest? We'll get to that a little bit later. We'll talk some NFL. Look, we're going to talk NFL, I think, from today throughout the rest of the year all the way until the Super Bowl is done. So buckle up. The NFL season is here, and I love it. And then, of course, it is Bad Take Boulevard Day because today is a Thursday after all. But did you know, Blankers, we're a week away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And as we know, the Houston Astros, one of the best teams in the American League, fighting for playoff positioning. Of course, a lot of the fans want them to add, but a week away, so it should be hot and heavy over the next 7 days or so.
Yeah, I think it's gradually starting to heat up, and now, you know, as we talked about, we're seeing teams kind of a little bit more with a clear, crystallized picture of what they're going to do. Are they going to sell? Are they going to buy? We talked about Arizona yesterday after getting swept by the Astros. What are they going to do? They have, I think, five or six guys whose contracts are coming up at the end of the year. They're not going to end up keeping all those guys. So how many of those guys are they going to get rid of to try and get something for? And how many teams are going to be in the running for them? Because there's some guys that, you know, a lot of teams might have some interest in. There's a lot of teams kind of sitting on the fence, so it's going to be interesting because you see some of the results recently of some of the teams that are supposed to be contending, and you know that they have holes, they have weaknesses, they'd like to fill them, and it's going to be really kind of intriguing to see how that competition plays out for certain players.
If you got one, what would it be?
Get one player?
Yeah, not the player specifically, because that's way too like specific. Like, I would say Shohei Ohtani. But, like, Astros are, like, you know, rumored to be in on the player, like the makeup or whatever, the profile of the player, what would it be for you?
Two things make sense to me, and the first would be a bat. I just feel like I see enough to have hope that there's pitchers coming to kind of get back on the roster and help this team. Starters and then how that influences the bullpen. I don't feel like they need an arm. The only way I do is if they feel like they're just not going to re-sign Fromber. They know he's going to be gone next year. And if they want to try and find some kind of way to get a deal to get a guy that kind of replaces him, good for this year, and then for next year he steps in when Fromber leaves. But my number one priority is a bat. I think that because we don't know what we don't know about Yordan yet again, and even though he's where he is now, how long is it's going to take for him to have another setback? You've got too many guys that you're waiting to see when they're going to be available. I think they need a bat.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well. I would prefer a left-handed bat if I can get a little bit picky. Like, I do have a pet peeve when everybody's like, left-handed bat. Like, it's like any left-handed bat. No, I want a left-handed bat that actually can hit right-handed pitching. Like, I don't want a guy that can just go stand in the left-handed batter's box and watch three pitches down the plate. And maybe that's me being, like, too nitpicky and specific. But, like, you saw with Singleton. Oh, well, Singleton, left-handed. Yeah, Singleton's never going to play. Like, I want a guy who can actually bat left-handed and hit right-handed pitching. I don't want a lefty for the sake of having a lefty. We have enough Cooper Hummels on this Houston Astro team. So I want a lefty that can legitimately put terror in the mind of a right-handed pitcher. So, but at the same time, like, if you can't find a lefty, and it's like, okay, well, let's just go with a right-handed back, fill in at third, if Isak comes back, okay, maybe we can move him across the diamond. Like, I'm not going to be picky. It's just a pet peeve of mine. Whenever, left-handed bat. How about a left-handed bat that's good? Like, give me that.
Yeah, look, I think they get, you know, in today's baseball, look at the splits. Make sure it's an everyday type player. Make sure it's a guy that you know, like you said, he could play corner infield, or get an outfielder that's just a really good player, or a better than what you have, that can help you, fortifies your bench no matter what. But in the short term, when we're putting out there Taylor Trammell and Cooper Hummel and all these young guys, find a guy that has veteran experience that can really kind of help absorb some of the games until you potentially get guys back in the corner outfield spot.
Yeah, the Ken Rosenthal, Ken Rosenthal is good at what he does, even though he asked Joe Espada some terrible, terrible questions. The three things he lists for the Houston Astros, and, like, it's funny whenever, like, we see these things, because, like we talked about yesterday, first and foremost, is Jim Crane going to go over the luxury tax? A question that we don't know. That would be very helpful for this type of conversation. And then secondly, the minor league system is not one. It produces the Astros minor league system. There's no doubt about that, because they're winning games right now with a bunch of AAA players. So it produces big league talent, but it's not a minor league system that teams around baseball are going to look at and be like, yeah, I need that player. I need this player. So the Astros aren't going to win any, like, wild, wild west shootouts for some of the top players on the market. So that's why all these, like, wish lists are hilarious to me. Like, Ken Rosenthal's first thing that he has for the Astros that they're, like, targeting or on their wish list, top of the rotation starter. Good luck. Like, that would be awesome, but good luck getting that. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing to me. It's like, it's easy to write these columns and go out there on social media and make these predictions or these expert analysis comments. But, like, where's the money coming from? Is ownership going to sign off on it with what we've been talking about with the tax? And for a team that's getting rid of a player, in more times than not, they're trying to restock their team. They're trying to reset the entire future of the team. The Astros don't have those kind of game-changing players. Now, with what we've seen of Bryce Matthews, that's an interesting question, because they might have a guy that now is more on the radar of some teams. But overall, these teams that are out there really kind of hunting the top of the market players, and as it relates to starters and bats, they're going to give you multiple players. They're going to give you, you know, three, four guys to try and get what they need to make this push. And certain teams like Toronto, they're desperate. They've spent a ton of money. They're looking to try and solidify their spot. You got a guy like Click running that franchise. They're going to probably be able to trump whatever package you put together should you be interested in that kind of player.
Permission to nitpick a little bit?
Sure.
Is Click running that franchise?
I think he's got his say so. I think he can put his mark on it. You know, he's not necessarily the GM in command, but I think, and I think it's also from the standpoint of, I mean, they're savvy. They know what they're going to do, but they know that they have a farm system that isn't depleted. They've got players that they know that they can put on the market and on the table. San Diego's another one. San Diego, they should be full blown go for it, but, you know, their GM's a guy that's going to look to kind of maybe find a better player than what they have, maybe look to move some pieces around. But either way, I think that their farm systems are more capable of pulling off a deal than Houston.
Yeah, I do too. San Diego's always kind of interesting, because they're always, like, they sell players that are approaching free agency, but then they also, like, go after players, big league players who have years of club control, kind of how they did with, like, okay, let's go get Soto, and then when Soto's in his final year, right before, let's trade him. And then, like, the Luis Arraez. Like, we really like Luis Arraez. He has years of club control. Let's go get him. It's an interesting way that they handle business there in San Diego. Rosenthal reports that if the Astros can't land a top-of-the-rotation starter, that they could settle for a high-leverage reliever. I think high-leverage is a bit I would say that's kind of an egregious usage of the word high-leverage. I could see them go after a right-handed reliever to kind of complement all the lefties that they have that can kind of be the sixth, seventh inning guy, share that spot with Brian King. I would like that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to it because obviously you just pulled Hector Neris off the scrap heap to give him one more look. And he's expendable. You can get whatever you need to try and upgrade. I just think that their bullpen, because your highest leverage guys are already solidified in the eighth and the ninth, and Brian King has been better than I expected, I wouldn't focus on that being my top priority. I would really focus on how do I enhance this offense until I hopefully get some of these guys back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, the priority thing. Like, I mean, Rosenthal mentioned that if they don't get a starting pitcher, they could settle for this. Like, you're having a bunch of different conversations at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I don't know if, like, one – like, I don't know how the priority pecking order comes into play for this sort of thing. But the way that I envision, like, a right-handed reliever – and, look, I don't think that they could trade at the top of the market. Like, they're not trading for Emmanuel Class A.
Right.
Or anything like that. But can they find the equivalent of a Brian King that throws from the other side of the rubber, that throws with the other arm? Potentially. And I think that could also be kind of affordable. It wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg. And the way that I envision that right-handed reliever helping you, like, let's just say he's the same caliber of pitcher of Brian King.
Okay.
These playoff games, you know that, you know, you have quicker hooks on starting pitchers. They don't go as deep into games. You might get five innings at a Hunter Brown, and now you have to eat 12 outs over the next four innings. And the Astros have Hader and Abreu, and maybe you can even get nine of those 12 outs with those two guys. But I want a spotter to have options in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning with lefties and righties in the most critical games of the year. That's why I'm pretty big in favor of a right-handed reliever, because I don't really have trust in Caleb Ort. I don't really have trust in Hector Neris.
Okay, and I hear you. And, again, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I would just counter that by saying if they're not able to do that or they don't do that, I would hope that whether it be Gusto and or Colt Gordon or, you know, depending on what they do with their rotation, that as you get some of these starters back, maybe you can fortify the pen a little bit more that way. I'm just throwing that out there. Because – what we talked about even yesterday when we were talking about Walter is something that, to your point, we might not know the name as a household name the Astros go and get, but one thing Dana has done really well so far is just find pitchers from just about everywhere that have come in and been able to contribute when they are brought back onto this team or added to this team. So I have confidence in his ability to find an arm that can do what you're looking for. I'm just wondering, depending on how many of these pitchers you get back, how that might be able to positively affect the bullpen.
I mean, I think a right-handed equivalent of King is very helpful.
Yeah, and do you think that if Gusto is that guy, is that enough?
No, I don't think he's that guy. I think Gusto's a mop-up reliever, like very low leverage. Caleb Ort, to me, is not a high-leverage reliever. Hector Neris, at this stage of his career, not a high-leverage reliever. Like, what I'm envisioning with a right-handed reliever is – You give Joe Espada options in a playoff game in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning to balance out with the lefties that you have. Because, I mean, right now you have King, you have Souza, you have Okert. They're all very, very good. But, like, do you want to run out three straight lefties?
Right.
Like, what if you have a right-handed pocket of hitters, 3, 4, 5 for the Tigers? I don't know their lineup. But just, like, this team that you're playing that just destroys left-handed pitching, I want a righty to be able to throw a wild card.
Sure. But I'm just curious, because we've said that we think Gusto has major league stuff. If, again, he transitions for the 15th time this year from starter back to the bullpen, and he just empties the tank, he knows he's only going to be out there to get three outs, and you know he's got a plus fastball, does he have enough stuff and control of it to be kind of that guy, even if you don't think he can be that guy completely?
I think he has the potential to do it, but I would hate to put the trust all in him without knowing for sure.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think the Astros can win a World Series. Maybe that's foolish of me.
No,
I don't want Ryan Gusto to be my second highest leverage right-handed reliever in the bullpen. Not to say that he's not capable of doing it. It's just I don't know. Like, you don't know what you don't know whenever it comes to Gusto in that front. So, like, if you can find a proven righty who's still pitching well, not Hector Neris, that would make me more comfortable with giving Espada options. And then the last thing Rosenthal mentioned was a bat, which, of course, yeah. I mean, look at the Astros lineup these days. A bat would be very nice.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it on a game-by-game basis, and I marvel every day that they're able to get victories when the lineup that they put out there looks like a glorified Space Cowboy lineup. and it would be so nice to be able to have some experienced major league talent to fall back on, because we're waiting, you know, on Chaz to kind of show us exactly who he's going to be. But it would, regardless, it would be nice to solidify a little bit more, because, like you said, we don't know what we don't know about Pena and Jake and you know, Yordan and all these guys and every Paredes. It's just the laundry list is so long that offensively, I'm in amazement every day that they win another ball game with the lineup they put out there. But I just keep scratching my temple going, how long are they going to be able to continue to do this and maintain their position?
Busy show at Cadillac Bar. Get out there for some sizzling fajitas and some tasty margaritas. Lots to get to. What piqued your interest on the second day of Texans camp? Who's under the most pressure in the NFL this season? Bad Take Boulevard. But we come back, what are names that you want? And we'll kick it around, too. Some names that are out there that are being reported in the player pool of the trade deadline. What makes sense for the Astros? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. You can find me there at Jeremy J. Branham. Twitter as well, ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. Ryan hasn't worked here long enough for me to say his Twitter handle. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. The Bomb. Broadcasting live from Cadillac Bar in the Heights as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cadillac Bar, the place to be right there on Shepherd. Summer Circuit continuing. Find the entire Summer Circuit schedule at ESPN975.com. If you're heading out there today, why wouldn't you be? Stop by the promo table, register to win a grand prize of the summer. A pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. So stop by the promo table. I'll be here until 6 o'clock. Enjoy the happy hour. 11 a to 7 p happy hour. They have a Sunday brunch buffet with all the fixings, all the good stuff. Also, if you're in the market for a holiday party or a birthday party, just go online. Check them out there. CadillacBar.com. That's CadillacBar.com. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. A texter says someone has to stop Joe George. The Texans podcast being called Swarmcast? Terrible. ! I did catch the last I caught the announcement of that, because I turned on the unit here and heard Joe talking about that. And Joe was not too confident in the name. He was like, yeah, we're Swarmcast, but we can change it if you want, Will. And Will's like, I need to think about it. I need to soak on that. What do you think of the name Swarmcast?
It's okay. I didn't know Joe was quarterbacking another podcast, but I think it ties into the D'Amico mentality. I don't mind it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst in the world. I don't think it's that bad, Dexter. I think it's fine. I think it's doable. Plus, it's not the name of the show that really matters. It's the context that
right.
matters. It's the content that I mean, we're the Killer Bees, for goodness sakes. Yes, it's a play on Houston, though, so it makes sense. Ocho, a very, very, very small part of me wants the Astros to roll with the youngsters and unsungs and see if one or two of them gets hot in October like Pena did in 22. Like, who are you comparing Pena to, though? Because, like, Pena was, like, a legitimate player. Like, he was a legitimate rookie. Like, he wasn't Cooper Hummel. He wasn't Taylor Trammell. He wasn't John Singleton. He wasn't Dak
right.
Jordan. Like, the closest to Jeremy Pena on this current version of the Houston Astros would be Cam Smith.
Yeah, and then right behind him would be Bryce Matthews, right? Because he was a first round pick.
Would Pena be closer to Cam or Bryce?
Well, I mean, you could go either way. To me, it's you know, Cam was a top 14 pick, and then Bryce Matthews was 21st, 22nd?
I think 28th.
See, I don't think Jeremy Pena was ever a top 100 prospect. So like, you can make the case that he's closer to Bryce than he is Cam.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think he was ever top 100.
He
was ranked 72nd in 2022 by Baseball America. But 72nd was closer to Bryce Matthews, who just barely got in recently, whereas Cam Smith was probably, what, like top 50?
He was a top 14 pick, and he was the number one prospect in the Cubs organization. So you would think he's within the top 50, right?
If
you're the Cubs' number one prospect.
Prospects include every prospect, not just one. Yeah. I didn't think he was their number one prospect, though.
I thought he was one and maybe a pitcher, or maybe he was 1-2. But I thought he was right there as the number one prospect in the Cubs organization.
I thought even that third baseman that they had start the year this season, and then they sent him down. I think he's back up now. Matt Shaw, maybe?
Shaw's right.
At the start of the year. I don't know. I don't keep up
Shaw's on their team. I don't know where they got him.
Right, but he was in their system. They drafted him, I believe.
BMAC is going to the expert on Cubs, Cubs baseball.
Joe's still here. He says Owen Casey was their number one prospect.
Yeah, Casey's the guy like everybody wants now. But I believe
what was Cam Smith before they traded him?
I want to say like fifth.
Yeah, Joe said four or five.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He got that right from the icebox.
Yeah. Anyways, that's beside the point. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. What do you think of that, though, that take by Ocho, where you like kind of really stand pat and go with what you have and then returning bodies that return to health?
Look, I used to have the notion that that was a good possibility, like because you're getting back the equivalent of several big moves on the open market at the deadline if you get Yordan back full-blown 100% healthy or close to it. Now, I just don't have the confidence he will be. Paredes, because of the fact that the way it looked, no matter what they tell us, it's an if, not a when, and if it's an if, it's probably going to be late September, and is he going to be, again, fully healthy? There's just so many question marks now where your margin for error is getting to be razor thin that I just don't think that I can see it now where they should stand pat 100% because they have so many, like, that players that lay in limbo where you're going, if one of these are two fall short and you pass the deadline, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't need a splash per se, and I also understand like the money aspect of it, the prospect aspect of it. Like I really don't need a splash, but if Dana does literally nothing, which I don't think he will, but if he does do that, I would be disappointed. Like I think this team has a chance to win the World Series, so if they don't like make a move, I would be disappointed.
Yeah, I would too. And I don't think, like you said, I don't think it's the Daryl Morey got to be hyper-aggressive, got to make, the Jim Crane-loving big splash like he does it with free agency. I think this is find your biggest need or two, and again, trust the fact that from a talent evaluation standpoint to what you know about said players, that they can be the kind of player that, again, I think focus should be first and foremost on I have to help this team right now from this point through the end of the season, and that has to be the utmost number one, biggest factor that you put on your list. How do I do something, and at least one thing, that makes it a little less worrisome that one of these guys is not going to make it back or has a setback?
Let's take a look at some of the names that are being connected to the Astros, predicted to the Astros. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN. Texture, if we don't get Alvarez back this season, I hope we trade him in the offseason. I've seen a lot of those takes. It's just like, what are you getting for Yordan Alvarez?
How many times do we have to say this over and over again? And it's really not just about limited to baseball. It's all about the fact that across sports, the last thing you want to do is dump out at the lowest possible value for the player you're getting rid of. And then because inevitably you're going to hear people get, we should be able to get a big haul for him. Well, if he's not performing for you, teams aren't going to be sitting there just opening up the floodgates of prospects and other things to give back to you. It's not a team-constricting contract per se to where I'm not trying to trade Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah. It's just like if you're unhappy with Yordan, these other teams are going to trade significant capital for Yordan.
Yeah.
It's just it's not realistic. Please help me understand why a spotter took Walter out while he was dealing after seven innings and only 82 pitches. He's probably wants to turn over to the bullpen there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that he's had trust all year, and for the most part, they haven't let him down. And Walter did his job, man. He pitched his tail off. He did exactly what you needed him to do and more, and the bullpen had been somewhat taxed. I was fine with taking him out when they did.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Tyga in the Hive. What's up, Tyga?
Hey, what's good, guys? First off, I just heard what you said about Yordan and anybody talking about trading them. That just sounds like a Houston fan that is, like, too nice with success. But they're tripping for that. That's crazy. We keep them, see how things playing out. But honestly, if we're looking for a name to pick up, maybe whoever Hulk Hogan gets reincarnated as, you know what I'm saying, that maybe we can pick him up because he was a big guy. Thank you.
It's too soon, Tyga. It's too soon. Hulkamania. Rico Pete actually had a Hulk Hogan text. Where did it go here? Yeah, Pete, in memory of Hollywood Hogan, what you going to do when the AAA Astros run wild on you? Rest in peace, Hulkster. We were efforting for Booker T, but he doesn't like me. So he gave us, I think he's big leaguing us. Texter,
I wonder
so,
why.
Yeah, why,
yeah, why
would that
in the world
would
he not like
why.
I mean, I figured he would like good business, you know? You know? I didn't think he'd say no to business, but apparently he said no to business.
Think you thought wrong, brother.
Texter, so someone who doesn't get enough credit is the Space Cowboys manager coaching staff. These guys always have these fill-ins and call-up guys ready to go and compete. Hats off to that guy. Well done, sir. It's funny to me that like he's giving them praise and love and he doesn't know his name. Mickey Story,
yeah.
You're looking for. That's just funny to me.
I think systematically, though, as much as maybe the talent has been a little bit depleted, and we do credit Dana for his eye, I think there's something to be said about the fact that once they get into the system that the coaches do a good job.
Yeah, I think the Astros player development machine is really, really good, especially the pitching machine. I think that's the best in baseball. Texter, has the current Astros regime made any significant financial commitments from outside the organization that have worked out other than Hader? I mean, you could still actually debate Hader a little bit. Current regime hasn't really spent a whole lot of money. The biggest contract was obviously Christian Walker, and Walker up until his recent tear, his hot boy summer, had been disappointing. But if you get Christian Walker in his hot boy summer for the rest of the contract, sign me up, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, I think there's still plenty of hope, unlike when we saw Abreu at first base and thought, oh, God, this is going to end horribly and probably way too soon. I believe in Christian Walker. I think unfairly for Dana that he gets kind of tied into the three Crane, Bagwell, Reggie signings that did not look good.
How are your hips doing?
They're fine. Yeah, but they don't lie. I just they're honest.
The only really free agents that the Astros have signed that are worth like mentioning is significant money. Hader, obviously the biggest. Christian Walker, who he just brought up, and then the one that goes under the radar a bit. Now it wasn't much money, but the Astros and Dana Brown did sign Victor Caratini, and like
yeah.
$12 million 2 years isn't like this massive contract. But the Astros under Dana Brown have not spent much money, really, because he's been getting the Astros back after Bagwell and company signed Abreu, Montero, and Brantley. Yes. The Montero one and the Abreu one you're still paying for. So Dana Brown hasn't really had a lot of financial freedom to spend much money. That will change going forward, it seems. But I thought the Caratini one should be
that's a great pull.
Cap.
Think about that. I mean, even with the money spent, you didn't anticipate that this was going to be one of your key cogs that has the versatility to DH, play first base and catcher, and as a switch hitter, be used as frequently as he's being used. I think the thought was Yiner's going to continue to like explode onto the scene. He's going to be your starting catcher. Caratini's going to pick up, you know, a couple days a week behind him, and then maybe, you know, be a bat off the bench. Instead, here's a guy hitting in the top five in your lineup, 5-6 in your lineup, and doing things to save your bacon on a nightly basis.
Pat 409, he's healthy and we trade. Heck no, he's hurt so we trade. Heck no. Y'all make no sense. Let's keep paying him to be broke all the time. I think he's talking about Yordan. You're not
I think he's just mad we
Yordan.
Didn't agree with him.
Like, you're not getting anything for him. Like, what do you expect to get for Yordan Alvarez, who's been out the entire season, that played in, what, 20 games and hit 209 or whatever it was? Like, what are you expecting to get for him? Like, you're playing Madden if you think you're getting anything of significance with Yordan Alvarez missing the last 140 games of the year. Like, let's be realistic here.
I think some teams would do the medicals, and they might be able to part with a fraction of what he would bring on the open market if healthy. But there's just no – it's actually a stupid idea to try and trade a guy at his – at arguably – and I don't think there's any argument, actually – at probably his lowest point value-wise.
Yeah. How good would the Astros be if the medical staff was as good as the pitching staff? Fantastic. It would be awesome. They would win the World Series every year.
Well, okay. I just think that we'd have guys back already and playing, but yeah.
Yeah.
They'd be better.
Alvarez not going anywhere. They'll sign him. They already signed him. Like, that's the other aspect of it. Like, he's due some pretty significant money. Now, a team-friendly contract, but Lance McCullers, when he signed his contract, was team-friendly. Like, no one's trading. Like, you're right. Somebody would trade for Yordan, but they would not pay full cost on Yordan.
Right.
So if you're comfortable trading Yordan for 50% of his value, but by all means, do it. But I'm glad you're not the general manager of the Astros. That ticks me off. Texture, at this stage, we need to accept the likelihood that Yordan may not come back this year. More likely to see him on a hospital billboard than a baseball field. Did Sousa's performance last night change Blanker's view on him at all?
No, long term, no. Look, I mean, I've talked about it all year. Guys are going to have hiccups. That was a hiccup. That was one where I ate crow immediately, and Jeremy and I discussed it, and I said, yeah, maybe it was the right move to go to King and not him. But I'm not going to sit there and sour on a guy that's been nails for you all year when you've called his number. Those things happen, and we've seen it. We've seen Hader do it. We've seen, you know, just about every relief pitcher do it at least once, if not more. No, it doesn't sour me on him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll echo that as well. So the Athletic had their top 50 players who could be on the move this Major League Baseball trade deadline, and then they had a fit for like half of them.
Uh-huh.
They had a fit for all 50 of them. Every time the Astros were mentioned, they were only mentioned on pitchers, which kind of annoys me because like they're going to be active on some of these hitters as well. The Athletic, you don't know ball. The Athletic, but the guys that were mentioned as fits for the Astros, all pitchers. All starting pitchers, and just a yay or nay as I rattle these off to you, Blinkers.
Okay.
Zach Gallen.
No.
Yeah, I'm
nay.
That one. Nick Martinez.
Nay.
I'm a yay on Martinez. Not like a crazy yay, but like I would. Martinez helped you. And I don't think he'd be super like expensive either because he's not a top of the rotation guy.
I just. Price matters on all these guys, and that's what really concerns me because I think
Martinez
that
would be the cheapest.
Well, I got – well, and you know it too, but there's a guy that I think might be cheaper, but we'll see.
Charlie Morton, yay or nay?
Yay.
I'm yay on Morton too, but, it comes down to the finances because he's making
right.
like $15, $18 million this year. I don't think you would have to pay a premium prospect capital on him, but Baltimore would want you to eat like the remainder of his salary. So that's one of those things like does Crane sign off on it?
That's where I would hope that in exchange to get something for him that Baltimore would be willing to eat some of that contract. I just think that for the short term, like we were talking about a couple segments ago, I think there's a guy that has settled in to being the old Charlie Morton for the most part that could help you.
Yeah, I would be okay with Morton. Trevor Rogers, yay or nay?
Nay.
He's been really good this year, but he's been like incredibly mediocre for his entire career. And he's coming off some sort of injury, too, because he only has 7 starts. I'm on the fence on that one. If the Astros are like, yeah, we want them, okay, well, the Astros have earned my trust.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of on the fence on that one. Jeffrey Springs, yay or nay?
If Brian was in the studio, I'd have him play the drop for who the is that guy because I don't know him. But, again, I'm out on when I was looking at the list, I'm out on all
so
the starting pitchers.
Springs.
Nay.
Okay, I'm probably nay on him, too. And the last one, Chris Paddock, yay or nay?
Nay.
See, I'm actually in on Paddock. Paddock was like a former top prospect that like has the stuff that like I could see the Astros really liking and then being able to harness him to being like super effective. So I'd actually be in on Paddock even though his numbers aren't great. All right, what were you saying, Blankers?
I was just going to say that from my standpoint looking at that list, when I was picking guys that I would want, they're all bats with the exception of Morton simply because I don't think Morton's going to cost you very much. And competition could actually change that. But overall, in looking for all the starting pitchers, unless I think they're going to be the replacement for Fromber down the line, I just don't think they're dominant enough or entice me enough to where I'd go, yeah, that's a guy that I want them to spend some capital on.
So Paston had his top 50 deadline candidates, he and Kyler McDaniel. Did anything jump out to you from that list?
Not from a starting pitcher perspective, really,
which
no.
Hitters, then?
I mean, the guys that I like – I don't think it would cost – well, one I think would probably – maybe two would cost you a little bit more. But I'm intrigued by both. I like Stephen Kwan. I think Stephen Kwan is a phenomenal outfielder. I think he's a really good stick. I think that he would be a guy that any team in baseball would love to have. He's a good defensive outfielder. And I think Duran out of the Red Sox with all the young talent that they have, if they're willing to part with that guy, there's another guy that I would be intrigued by that I think could be a fit for this outfield short and long term.
Who's the last one? My bad.
I said Kwan and Duran.
Oh, Duran, yeah. They're going to be super pricey.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Those are top of the market. And then as you go down the list a little bit, guys that I would be interested in are both from Baltimore, but I would be interested in Mullins and O'Hearn just simply because I don't think the price would be super high, but I believe that those guys could help you for the rest of this year.
I don't love any of these bats. I wonder what, like, a Luis Robert would cost. Just, like,
go a lot.
I don't know, man. Like, his potential is far greater than his production. Like,
but I just think the competition with the Dodgers wanting him and some of the teams that want him are going to push that thing up through the roof.
I mean, why hasn't he been traded yet then? Like, he's been on the block for, like, the last 3 years. This is my theory on Luis Robert, and, like, cash or trash this. My theory on Luis Robert is teams want to trade for Luis Robert for his production, and the White Sox would only trade him for his potential, and that's why he's still a White Sox.
Quite possibly. I think that they're probably trying to hope that the competition for him gets, you know, heats up even more and they can try and get more for him. I question sometimes with his lackadaisical effort how much he really loves playing the game sometimes. But I just know that there are teams that love, you know, all the tools he brings to the table and they'd love to have him. And I think that the White Sox are going to get a pretty good package for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think if they would have been blown away, they would have traded him by now, like in each of the last two seasons. I'm with you. Like, I don't know if it's boredom, but I think he hates playing for a bad baseball team.
For sure.
I feel like him playing on a good baseball team would unlock him.
Maybe so. I think that's what I think they're hoping for. They're hoping for, you know, a Dodgers and another kind of a big-time team or two that has some prospects to get into a bidding war.
I don't really love the bats. Like, I like your two, like Kwan and Duran and, like, Suarez. Like, they're really, really good. I just don't think the Astros are realistically in that conversation with those guys. But other than, like, that, like, the bats are just kind of mid. Like,
yeah, and even Suarez free at the end of the year, I believe.
Yeah.
But that's not going to change things because if the Yankees are in on that and the Mariners are all seemingly more desperate than ever to try and get a guy they let go come back, that you get, you know, those two and maybe another team involved – and suddenly they're going to get a really good return that I don't think the Astros can compete with. And even with Kwan and Duran, I think Duran's under team control for like 3 or 4 more years. It'd be ideal, but because of that, the Red Sox aren't just going to give him away.
Bingo. I'm really liking the small ball strategy with this current team. It's one reason we're winning. It helps whenever you have bad hitters to go all in with the small ball strategy. Texter just wanted to say I love the show because you guys rarely miss a text. I think the interaction is really cool. I mean, we only read about 10% of the text.
Second most interactive talk show in Houston.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Texans training camp, day 2. What has piqued your interest? Killer Bees live from Cadillac Bar on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Cadillac Bar in the Heights as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Gotta get out to Cadillac Bar. Bees there today. Margarita Monday, $6 margaritas, $18 pitchers all day. All day. Taco Tuesday. I'll let them use it, even though I invented it. $5 tacos on Taco Tuesday. The tequila and fajitas Friday. Margarita pitcher, half pound of chicken and beef fajitas for $39.99. Where else are you getting a margarita pitcher and a half pound of fajita for less than $40?
Seriously. And I was telling Brian during the break, it's all the great specials and the happy hours. And then, you know me, I'm a red salsa connoisseur. Their red salsa and their fresh hot chips are fantastic. Even that stuff's great here. It's a good spot.
It is a good spot. I've been there multiple times. Really enjoy it there. A texter, I'll second the text about y'all's interactive engagement. Love it. Okay, that's a little bit. That's too many niceties are going on here. Okay, all right. You guys have to reel it back a little bit. Let's send the mean stuff. 713-780-ESPN. So day two, Texans training camp. What has piqued your interest on day two, Blankers?
Well, let's start with the Christian Harris watch. The fact that he didn't practice again today, the fact that it's been way too long already is going to be something that's going to continue to stick in my crosshairs because I just keep asking what the hell is going on.
But I did find it interesting, this from our friend Landry Locker, that apparently Christian Harris is on the – he didn't practice, but he was on the sideline holding a football watching practice.
And they made sure that he was in practice gear.
This almost kind of feels – are we getting close to Lance McCullers working out on his Instagram in his uniform?
I just kept thinking Kyle Tucker-esque, where this thing is just going to keep going and going and be the gift that keeps on giving that no one really wants to have happen. Because I just got this sick feeling that it's going to be like, I don't know if we're ever going to see him back on the field, and I don't think we're ever going to see him close to where he was. It's just, why the hell is it taking this long?
Why would he not be on the pup then?
Jeremy, I don't know. I don't think they're the Astros, but I don't have that answer, but there's nothing that leads me to believe that this is going to end happily.
Yeah, I mean, it's mysterious, and I had it on my list too. But I don't think it's – I mean, I think he's actually close to coming back. Like, that's my read on the situation, is that Christian Harris is going to be practicing very, very soon. Like, it really is. Like, I know that it's – he didn't play at all last year, and he had the mystery of, like, walking, and he, like, tore his calf, I guess. Like, I understand all the mystery surrounding Christian Harris. But if he was legitimately hurt for an extended period of time – he'd be on the pup.
We would think.
So like that's
just
that's
it's just so frustrating because, and probably also because we have PTSD from everything that we've experienced in Houston with injuries, and you know, mainly all the Astros, but even as we talked about Yao and some of the Rockets injuries as well. But this one, it just seems like it's another one that's not going to end well.
I guess. I mean, I'm frustrated by it as well. But, I mean, it's day two of training camp. It's July 24th. You're a long way from playing in an NFL game. And even if he was healthy, is he one of your starting linebackers?
See, I was high on him when they got him. I thought that he could be. I thought that what we saw in the playoffs meant that he would be. And so I still believe that there's a possibility that he could have been in the mix for it. But with speed and you know, alongside El Shaair, probably not. But the depth and the athleticism to be able to make plays, I think, is better than Henry To'o if he was like he was in the playoffs.
Like, I'm intrigued by this story, but call me crazy. I'm not that worried about it. I'm not that worried about it. Like, the Texans defense was fine last year without Christian Harris. They elevated that position with the signing of EJ Speed, and him not being on the pup makes me think that he's close to his return. So, like, I'm not that worried about it. But, I mean, time will tell. Like, you know, we thought that he was going to play last year significant snaps, and he got back but never really played a ton of significant snaps. Like, he played special teams in the playoffs. I think played one snap in their final game, something like that. What else piqued your interest?
The fact that, kind of similar to telling the media anything about C.J. Stroud or anything else, I think they're holding true to the fact that they don't care what you want to report on and what you want to see, that they are truly going to try and figure out what is the best five offensive linemen they have and where they are going to play best for them, and that from day to day it's going to change. It may change drastically, and they are going to do it exactly how they want to do it, take their time, do it right, give every guy's chances, and then evaluate and figure it out, and I have no problem with that.
Same. Like, I don't think we should over. Like, I think. Okay, here's my stance on this. I think it is prudent. Like, I think it's pertinent, rather. I think it's pertinent to have that information. Like, who's running out with the first team O-line that day? Who's running out with the first team O-line in the second offensive period? Like, I like to read that information. I like to know that information because I do think it is a bit of a tell. I do think also, though, that we are a long, long away from the Texans deciding who their best five are. And I think, like you said, they're going to be rotating tons of pieces around, not only to, like, see who looks better at one specific position, but also to see who fits in the best. Because we talk about it all the time, cohesion, offensive line, yada, yada, yada. Like, you, they want to get a good look of who works well together. John Harris, who does work for Houston Texans, HoustonTexans.com, was in radio forever. Love his football mind. He has a write-up each day about, like, what his observations are, whatever. And he talked about this on the offensive line. He says, I'll say this. It was tweeted, posted, stated what the Texans' first O-line lined up as. But there were four different periods of teamwork, and the Texans lined up with a different group as the first line in each of those situations. So what you read is great, awesome. But just know that nothing is set in stone at all. Just backs up what we just said.
And I think the other thing, Jeremy, is they want versatility. And so the fact that we've seen it with Patterson and Scruggs, but we've seen it with Howard, and they're looking at even their two young tackles and trying to figure out, like, can they play both? Can they play right and left tackle? You know, how many guys can play multiple positions so that they know that whether – if you're not starting, if you're a guy that has the versatility to play multiple positions, it seems like that means something to them too, and there's a little extra value with that. But – yeah, we're just so far away from them trying to solidify it. I know it is everybody's number one concern, but we're not going to see any kind of – I don't think we're going to see any kind of solidifying of that line for a while.
I was reading the tweets before I went back and listened to DeMeco, just the way that, you know, my morning worked out, and I was reading the tweets that DeMeco was praising Solomon Boyd and, like, how good he's looked and he's going into his second year and all that. And, like, I think that is real. Like, I don't think it's fake. But I was wondering if DeMeco, like, brought that up on his own or if he was asked about Solomon Boyd, because I think there's a difference there. Because if DeMeco goes out of his way to bring up a player without being asked about a player, okay, that's much different than, hey, what do you think about player X? And then DeMeco answers the question about player X. DeMeco did praise Solomon Boyd, but he was asked specifically about Solomon Boyd. Yeah. So I think it's worth noting, but also, like, what's he going to do? Like, oh, I think he's a bum. He's not going to make our team. Like, of course, yeah, he's working hard. He's one of us. So I noted it, but after hearing DeMeco actually talk about it in context and knowing that he was asked about Boyd directly, it did diminish it a little bit for me.
Yeah, it's I agree with you. I just think that, you know, that someone's writing a story or someone from, you know, either his hometown or his college or something like that. Someone's trying to focus on a different name and throwing in at DeMeco. And DeMeco's the kind of guy that's going to, you know, show love to his players. But we went through this. What's the offensive lineman from Michigan that everybody was, you know, mentioning for like a week at, leading in and around OTAs with his work ethic and how he could possibly factor in? And Nick and DeMeco were mentioning him. And now we don't hear about him at all. So I'm trying to think of his name now. It's not Ladarian.
You can let us know later.
I'll look it up.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Texter, I missed the blitz. So do we. Blitz was awesome. Missed the blitz as well. Texter, you guys read my text too much. Chill out. There we go. This is stuff I like. Now you're talking my love language, guys. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What has piqued your interest in Day 2 Texans training camp? I have a couple as well. And here's a question I'll throw out for you. Did you like the Bill O'Brien offense? Because we might be seeing more of the Bill O'Brien offense in Houston. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.